This is the Brian Kelly Press Conference, presented by People's Health.
Going into year two, we understand a lot of those things necessary to be competitive and win games. Now it's how do you do it week in and week out?
With Georgia State coming in to face your Fighting Tigers.
Touchdown, Fighting Tigers!
Coach Kelly is coming up, but first, from inside the Capital One studio on the campus of LSU, here are your hosts, former Tiger Gordy Rush, and the voice of your Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair.
Good Monday morning, Tiger fans, and welcome in to another week of LSU Fighting Tiger football, the Brian Kelly Press Conference presented by People's Health. And Tigers get ready to come back at home. They'll finish, as we told you, their final three games inside the friendly confines of Tiger Stadium. They took on Florida last Saturday night. We got plenty to talk about there, but they'll have Georgia State out of conference coming in from the Sun Belt and Atlanta on Saturday with a 7 o'clock kickoff. And Gordy Rush, if you happen to be inside Tiger Stadium on Saturday, happen to be in the broadcast booth, happen to be listening, happen to be watching, You witnessed history. Again, LSU got the win, 52-35. Bigger than that was the performance of Jaden Daniels, who was I was starting to request somebody get me a thesaurus as the second half went on. It was just hard to explain and use the right words and different words to describe how special a night it was for that young man.
You know, we've seen a lot of great football. I go back to the 2019 LSU at Ole Miss and that offensive display the Tigers put on that season. But in terms of offensive display and individual performance, I haven't seen anything like that in my life. That was unbelievable. And again, when you watch Jaden Daniels run, it's so effortless, and he's just trucking by people. That was history, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking when I went back and watched the game, like when I think of guys over the years as I was coming up as a college football fan, when you saw them running, you saw like just a lot of things shaking, shoulder pads shaking, helmets shaking, all of that stuff as they're gaining speed. And you watch Jaden, and he literally looks like he's on a carpet just flying down the field. He is so calm and yet so fast.
And he runs upright, and you're right. You made me think back to Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
And Herschel Walker and the SEC days, and of course equipment was a little bit different then, but it's that and the him running upright, blowing by people, and then he gets to the 10-yard line and just breaks out with a smile.
Yeah,
that's it's not as if you and I would be huffing and puffing. He's got a big smile, ear to ear grin as he's running in the end zone.
LSU single game record for rushing yards by a quarterback, 234. He broke his own mark of 163. That he set the previous week against Alabama. Had the longest touchdown run by an LSU quarterback, 85 yards in program history. SEC single-game record for total offense, rushing and passing yards with 606. Previous mark was 585. And then this is the big one. First FBS player to eclipse 12,000 passing yards, 3,000 rushing yards in his career. He surpassed both marks in the Florida game. He now has 12,101 passing yards, 3,091 rushing yards. If you remember, Gordy, about 4 weeks ago, we were on this show and discussing, hey, should he be in the conversation? And I made a statement to you that if he's not in New York, then the Heisman means absolutely nothing. I got to tell you, after watching all of the games and all of the guys that are in the mix, and then going and looking at the numbers, and of course, Twitter took care of that. They were comparing him to everybody on Saturday night. That's your Heisman player. That's the best player in college football.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, it's interesting. There's some folks out in the Pac-12 that they're having a pretty good year. But I think this performance, and then finally, I think he's going to get the stage one more time against Texas A&M on some sort of primetime nationwide TV to put his skills on display. But I'm with you. He's got to be the leader right now after week 11 of the college football season.
All right, so after we talk all about what Jaden did, which was sensational, the Tigers put up 701 yards total offense against the Florida Gators, which is the third time in history that an LSU team has put 700-plus yards. Last time it happened, well, no surprise, 2019 in that Ole Miss game, they were able to put over 700 yards. But I did not want to leave out of here Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers, who also were incredible to watch because they now have two games this year where they're both over 130 yards each in a game. Thomas with two touchdowns. Malik Nabers with some sensational catches. I mean, again, it just – I mean, we spent the first 5 minutes talking about Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
And now we're getting to guys who are at the top of their craft. Thomas still leads the nation in touchdowns. And Malik now just, you know, starting to separate himself with yardage.
Look, and I'll give Billy Napier credit. The Florida head coach said in his press game conference, look, you can die a slow death against them, or you can go and blitz and play man-to-man and be who we are. And they decided to do that. It was a quick death. And when you look at it, I give them credit. They stuck to their guns, but wow. Thomas and Nabers had fantastic afternoons, evenings, I should say. And another stat that jumps out at me, Chris, LSU had 701 yards of offense in 25 minutes of time of possession.
Yeah.
Florida won the time of possession nearly 10 minutes more than LSU to put 701 yards up in just 25 minutes. That's incredible.
Yeah, almost 12 yards of play in the game on Saturday. I want to give a little shout-out to the LSU defense. They gave up 35 points, as we know. And for a time, you know, one of the things that stood out about the performance of the offense was until the very last possession, LSU needed every yard, and they needed every point because it would get up 10, then it would be 3, then it was 10, then it was 3. And, of course, the Gators scored 35 points. They put 488 yards on the ground. But in that second half, you know, I kind of went back and looked. There were 7 LSU stops in the game, including a turnover forced on a fumble. But they had a punt. They had 3 punts, actually 4 punts in the game, and they turned them over on downs late in the game. And 7 stops with this offense is a pretty good recipe to win football games.
Look, I mean, the hard thing about playing defense with this offense is the stat I just read. They're off the field so quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're on the field the majority of the night. There's a lot to clean up. This is nowhere close to being the standard of defense we're used to at LSU. One thing two things I'd highlight. One, they were able to make a couple stops, right? In a game like that, you just needed 2 or 3 stops to get a little bit of separation. And I am encouraged by the young defensive backs that got targeted in Toviano and Stamps, and then Jordan Allen played a little bit back there at free safety. Yates played there. I mean, you're talking about 4 true freshmen played majority of the game against the University of Florida, right? This wasn't a non-conference game. And I thought they made some plays. They're getting better, and you know, I think that's one of the nice things about this season. Hey, if you're gonna struggle a little bit, get some young people out there and get them some valuable playing time.
You know, one thing that you made a remark on, and then going back and watching the game yesterday, it occurred to me, you know, when Florida put a little tempo in, they had success. Certainly in that opening drive they had to tie the game at 7-all. But then those early drives in the third quarter, in the second half, you know, they got the run game going because we know they want to spread to run, mm-hmm. and they had Johnson and ETN with 3 rushing touchdowns, but they didn't stay with that tempo the majority of the night. It was kind of odd to me.
You know, I'm with you, and then sometimes it's easy to come in here and script tempo and practice the first couple series. It's, and when the game goes on, do you gas your own team? And then it's not as if Florida's defense was playing particularly well. And hey, do we want a quick 3-and-out here? And our defense doesn't get a chance to get a blow there on the sideline. So it is complimentary football. But I'm with you. I think there's a lot to clean up. Specifically, Georgia State's a spread team. You know, it's Georgia State is. We're not going to sugarcoat it. They're 6-4 in the season, and this is a game that LSU's favored in. But Texas A&M is going to come in here with a really good running attack. So I think it's key that LSU improves in their run fits, more discipline in the run fits, and do a better job stopping the run against Georgia State.
Yeah, great point. They're going to need it this weekend, and more importantly, secondly, it will be in the final game of the regular season as the level of competition will go up with a similar offensive scheme. Last thing, I got to say it. Did we learn anything else about what targeting is in
no
college
idea.
Football? No.
I mean,
even more confused than we were a week ago.
No idea. I'm the coach will dance around it. You and I can't get fined.
Nope.
He could potentially get fined.
I don't think so anyway.
But I mean, to see the replay and to see it real time and see the replay, to me, it was clear that Sam missed. He went down and missed the ball carrier's helmet and hit him in the shoulder pads.
And the only reason he hit him in the shoulder pads is because the running back dropped down to his level.
Right.
I mean, that to me, I know we can't. It's already confusing as can be. So I know that when you add, well, what's the intent, then it becomes even a bigger mess. But I don't know how much lower that Sam could go. I mean, he was trying to get low. Had Johnson not dropped low, he probably would have hit him in the hip or the leg.
And that's the hard thing about this rule. I mean, we've seen 10 or 15 different varieties of when, you know, ball carriers slip or they go down. And what do you, you've got to protect yourself at some point. And it's just, it's instinct, it's reactive. And I thought Coach Kelly brought it up best in his post-game press conference a week ago at Alabama, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, at Alabama. You had somebody that clearly had the intent to knock somebody out, and they didn't even stop the video to look at it in Birmingham, at least ask the official, I should say, to look at the video, and this one gets targeting. So I have no clue what targeting is any longer.
I tell you what I do like is last Thursday after practice, Coach Kelly picked the perfect word for the explanation. He said semantics.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a perfect chosen word to send the message without getting in too much trouble.
Yes.
So we'll see what the semantics are this week on why Andre Sam was disqualified. All right, I digress. Hopefully the rest of the season we don't have to discuss it anymore. Coming up at 12 o'clock, Brian Kelly will discuss the big win, 52-35, and then what's on tap this week as the Tigers get ready to take on Georgia State. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll find out what Gordy knows about the Panthers out of the Sun Belt after this on the Brian Kelly Press Conference presented by People's Health.
Coach Kelly is just moments away from previewing the week for the Fighting Tigers. This is the Brian Kelly Press Conference, presented by People's Health. Once again, here are Gordy and Chris.
Back here leading you up to high noon, and Coach Brian Kelly with his weekly press conference. Tigers get ready to take on the Georgia State Panthers. Gordy, this is a program that got started in 2010. Former Alabama and Kentucky coach Bill Curry was hired as an exploratory group, and they, I think around 2007, decided, hey, maybe we need football here at Georgia State. 2010, they started their season. It was started with Bill Curry a couple of years as coach. Trent Miles, who's actually an analyst here with LSU, was the head coach for a number of years before Sean Elliott took over. Sean Elliott cut his teeth, played football at Appalachian State, was on Jerry Moore's teams that won a string of FCS national titles. Coach Elliott would move on to join Coach Spurrier at South Carolina, became an interim coach eventually and when Steve was ready to go play golf, and then made his way as the latest coach at Georgia State. And it's a team that started off this year. Now, they didn't have a well of a schedule, don't get me wrong, but they got off to a good start. But here of late, they have struggled. As you mentioned, they're 6-4, 3-4 in Sun Belt Conference play. A spread offense style team, and their numbers are, you know, they're not eye popping. You know, when you put them up nationally, and certainly when you put them in the Sun Belt, they're 12th in scoring offense, 12th in total defense. They're a 10th in total offensive yards. You got to be ready for it, but this is a team that LSU should be able to come in, do what they want to do. Jaden Daniels should, you've heard pitch count before, he should be on a yard count. Get him in there. Let him get some good numbers, and then let him sit the rest of the game.
Well, you look at this Georgia State defense. They're third from the bottom total defense in the Sun Belt, giving up 440 yards a game. Offensively, you mentioned they're spread to run team. They're pretty balanced. Their quarterback, Darren Granger, is a senior. He's a dual-threat kid that can run it a little bit, is averaging 60 yards per game. They have a good running back, Marcus Carroll, who's one of the top rushers in the Sun Belt. He's rushing for 120 yards a game. They'll run four wides, Chris. It won't be the power spread that we've seen out of Florida, Alabama in recent weeks. This is more of a true spread. So, I think that LSU, with their athleticism in the front seven, should be in good shape for this matchup. And, again, this is a game that LSU – I believe is a 28-point favorite, and rightfully so. This is all about LSU, I think, continuing to stay in rhythm offensively, defensively, fixing some run fits, and yet again, another night for these young defensive backs to get some work, and they need to continue to get some reps and just get prepared for Texas A&M. We'll come in here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, in conference play, Georgia State fifth in rushing offense, averaging about just under 176 yards per game. You know, and the first things I look at are usually conference stats when we're deep into the season. And they're also, I believe, ninth in rushing defense. So they're giving up about 174 yards per game on the ground. And then through the air, they are 11th in the conference in pass defense, giving up 267 yards. So, again, I go back to there should be opportunity for this LSU offense right. to put some numbers up pretty quick, both on the ground and through the air. And then, as you said, I think defensively it gives you a chance, a team that when they're successful and have been successful, have ran the football to get in there and get their fits right, improve their tackling. And the passing attack is, I think, 14th in the Sun Belt, only about 170 a game.
And I think for SEC fans, LSU fans that don't follow the Sun Belt quite as much, you're very familiar with the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt's improved. I mean, they have a lot of new members the last couple of years, and Elliott had Georgia State in the in a bowl game, I think, for 3 years prior to 2022 last season. But when you throw James Madison is in there now. Also, South Alabama jumped in there. Old Dominion, Coastal, we know they had been in there for a couple of years.
Southern Miss,
who's down this year, but they won't stay down. It's a very challenge. It's a very good football conference.
Yeah, now. I really would think, and I'll go, I'm a little bit biased, but I really think over the last 3 to 4 years, you've seen the Sun Belt actually become the best overall G5 conference,
yes.
if that's what they're called nowadays. That's out there. And again, with the addition of James Madison, who is still ineligible
right.
for postseason play, so they can't play in the conference title game, and they can't play in a bowl this year. This is their last transition year. I mean, you're talking about a team that's gotten a lot of national attention, and people are kind of asking the NCAA to forget that,
right,
that
right.
rule because they're that good a team. But, you know, it's good competition in the Sun Belt, and it's a Georgia State team that we know has no fear going into big places like Kyle Field.
That's right.
And, you know, App State has done it. Georgia Southern obviously has done it against the Florida Gators. So, you know, they're a good team that has struggled here of late. And now you have to wonder, this late in the season, they got hammered last week by Appalachian State at home, 42-14. And, okay, Coach, what's up this week? You're going to Tiger Stadium
right.
on a Saturday night to take on Jaden Daniels and LSU.
What's your mindset after losing three in a row to Georgia Southern? James Madison, as you mentioned, won 42-14 2 weeks ago over in Atlanta, and then losing to App State in a rainstorm, right? Nothing like getting beat in a rainstorm. What's their mindset? Everybody will come excited to play here in Tiger Stadium. I think it's just important for LSU. They get out to a fast start, and I think that excitement goes away real quickly when you're an overmatched opponent coming into Tiger Stadium.
All right, we should have Coach Kelly joining us from the Lawton Room here in just a little bit. What we also can tell you is we got to wait a little longer here, but we know that pretty soon we'll get the time on that Texas A&M game. I don't know, Gordy, if we're able to break news yet. We're going to have to wait, but normally Coach Kelly is on time and waiting to get the indication that he's in the building. So I'm actually got my eyes on two things here.
Okay.
If everybody can bear with me here, trying to do both to get you ready. All right, I can tell you, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff coming up this Saturday. So plan accordingly for LSU and Georgia State. First ever meeting on the gridiron is LSU looking to finish out strong in the regular season with two more games remaining. Gordy, you checking?
I am checking to see. We do not have an official time, but you got to imagine the 2:30 game typically last week of the season is the Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn, which would mean it's either going to be a night game or the 11 a.m. slot. But it is not official yet from my man Chuck Dunlap, and so we'll see. He usually will release that just at 12 o'clock. So I'm trying to refresh here, but nothing.
Yeah, I'm refreshing too, and you said we couldn't get fined. Well, we might. I don't want to venture into those waters.
Oh, no, no.
You
no.
never know.
I don't either with that. So we're just waiting on Chuck, hopefully, to release the LSU-Texas A&M time.
Well, I was really hoping to break news, but I'm told Coach Kelly has arrived at the Lawton Room. So here in just a few moments, we will send it to him for this week's press conference. Again, LSU taking on Georgia State. I'm sure he'll have lots to say about his quarterback as he now takes to the stage and we head to the Lawton Room. We'll get you that time when we come back on the other side, but here's Coach Brian Kelly.
Dress up. Hi, good afternoon. Do a quick recap of the Florida game. I think we start off with just a great environment in Tiger Stadium. Excited to see our fan base come out and create a great atmosphere for our football team. You know, again, I think what's important to point out was an incredible individual performance by Jaden Daniels, who certainly put himself as a Heisman candidate with that performance. But it's been a body of work that certainly, you know, I think he's number one in the nation in total offense, passing touchdowns, rushing yards by a quarterback, pass efficiency. Just an incredible night of offensive football and scoring 52 points, over 700 yards in total offense. You know, again, the offense ranks top 10 in the nation in nine categories, number one in the nation in total offense, pass efficiency, and plays of 20-plus yards. Also, Jaden Daniels was named the SEC Offensive Player of the Week, and Charles Turner was the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. So those awards keep coming down on this offensive group that has been elite all year. So it was fun to watch them. And again, you know, a gritty performance by our football team. We weren't perfect, but our guys played hard for four quarters. And, you know, respect the competition, being in the SEC, that you're going to get everybody's best. And I thought we got our opponent's best Saturday night. We flipped the script now and, you know, get ready for a Georgia State team that, you know, obviously comes in with nothing to lose, everything to gain. And for us, you know, still about, you know, looking towards, you know, getting better each and every week. This will be about our preparation. This will be about how we get better in all facets. We want to continue to work towards, you know, our offensive production being consistent week in and week out. We have players that are, you know, certainly at the pinnacle of their particular position that want to continue to stay there, and certainly defensively continue to grow. We're playing a lot of young players. We want them to continue to get better at that, their craft as well. So excited to be back home again, and we finished the season at home. It's been a obviously for us difficult road games. Our team has battled, put ourselves in a position now to finish the season strong. So we'll open it up to questions.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned, you know, you talked a little bit after the game about him, but Josh Williams, just watching the film, he had some really prolific blocks that really helped open that game up for Jaden. Just can you talk about it from that perspective, how important the run blocking from your skills players has been this season, and how effective that has played in y'all's offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to look towards some of the key plays in the game, and in particular the long runs. You don't run down the field unless you have others that are committed to making sure that that occurs. And, you know, we all talk about the offensive line, and they've been outstanding, but you have to have receivers that are committed to that as well, and running backs. The one you're talking about in particular with Josh was the edge block that he made on their defensive end to free up Malik Nabers on the flip, you know, what we call our speed sweep. So, yeah, you're getting it from a number of different players that is setting up an unselfishness, you know, on our football team, and in particular on the offensive side of the ball.
Hey, Coach, people see Jaden's highlights on the field. What can you share about him off the field as a leader? What makes people gravitate to him? And he came here not knowing anybody, right, and had to win over the whole team. What have you seen in that whole process with him?
Approachable. And when I say approachable, I mean he's never been a guy that has built a bubble around himself. He has been a guy that has, you know, I think made himself available to everybody on the team, whether it's an offensive player or a defensive player. And I think that, you know, when somebody comes in and transfers in, you know, their guard is up. His has always been one where, you know, he's been approachable. He's always been somebody that has reached out to others on our football team. And I just think that's made our entire team embrace him because he's been so readily available to everybody on our team, not just the offensive players, but the defensive players. And his demeanor, his personality, you see him smiling on the sideline all the time. That's the way he is, whether he's in meetings or whether he's in the football building. He has that personality, and I think it's infectious.
Yeah, Brian, right here. Considering where Jaden was, say, about halfway through last season, when kind of still reluctant to throw the ball downfield, y'all were still trying to learn what he liked. Have you had a quarterback in your career take this big a jump in one season, and what went into that?
No, I'd be hard-pressed to think of a quarterback that has made the kind of leap that he has made to where now you're looking at somebody that is clearly a front runner for the Heisman Trophy, and I don't know that I've had somebody make that kind of jump. And I think that it starts with it was in him. And I think he had that upside. And it's probably one of the things that we saw in wanting him to transfer here is that we saw a player that could be elite, and it was a matter of him having the confidence in himself and then the development process needed to take place. So I think all of those things coming together and then having the confidence in himself to go out and do it, and it certainly has been fun to watch.
Coach, when you have a quarterback have that kind of success, how much does it help you recruit quarterbacks, or is that more to do about who's on the depth chart at that time?
Well, I think in certain instances, if Jaden Daniels was coming back next year, it certainly affects it in some fashion. Or let's say he was a sophomore, it certainly would affect it a little bit, right? But now that he is certainly in his last season of competition, it opens up just the fact that, player development and the ability to compete for the Heisman Trophy exists at LSU because it's not only right now, but it happened a few years ago with another LSU quarterback. So now you're starting to build not an accident, but a trend here at LSU. So that obviously speaks to recruiting and the ability to recruit elite quarterbacks to LSU.
Hey, Coach. Jimmy Lindsay was back in the fold with you guys for this past game. What is he sort of doing with the team, and how is he sort of integrating back with you guys?
Yeah, he has just finished his treatments. So he is in a part-time capacity, really. We're so excited about where he is medically, but there are contingencies in terms of what he can do. He's not out there, 15 hours a day and doing those things. But we're gradually, for his own health, we're bringing him back much more in an administrative role right now.
Hey, Brian, how much have Mike Denbrock and Joe Sloan factored into the giant success that this offense and Jaden have had this year?
Yeah, there's an offensive coordinator that is responsible for, orchestrating this and play calling, has a lot to do with it. When he's not, when the offense is not running well, Matt House has gotten a ton of criticism this year as the defensive coordinator. If our offense isn't going well, Mike Denbrock will get a ton of criticism for, what would be happening on offense. So he deserves a lot of credit for what's happening on the offensive side of the ball. He is, he's the chief play caller. So that comes with the job, right? That comes with the title. But it is a shared responsibility. Joe Sloan is intimately involved in everything we do. Cortez Hankton is. Brad is, Coach Wilson. Frank does an incredible job in factoring in a number of those layers as well. So there's somebody that's going to get a lot of the credit because of the title, but everybody has a shared responsibility. And when it comes to the quarterback, Joe Sloan should get a lion's share of the credit because he's in that room with them every single day.
Hey, Coach, down here. Oh, yeah. Overall, first of all, just injury report for the week. John Emery maybe?
John Emery has an ACL tear, so we'll lose him for the season.
And I just wanted to ask, you know, obviously lots of talk about Jaden for the Heisman, but what about Malik Nabers? He may be in contention for the Biletnikoff Award. What have you seen from him this season? What do you think about his candidacy?
I think he's the best wide receiver in the country. And I'm sure that Coach Day is going to say that his guy is the best, and I totally understand that. But Malik Nabers, in terms of what he does, you know, on jet sweeps, what he does in terms of yards after the catch, catching the ball down the field. I think he is, you know, multi-dimensional in what he does, leading the country in receiving yards. You know, I think he's the best receiver in the country and deserving of you know, being a Biletnikoff Award winner.
After the game, you identified Josh and Noah as, you know, being contributors. Have you been able to identify anybody on the defensive side of the ball that could help push the program forward in a similar way?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I was talking to them, I'm talking about an unselfishness amongst a group of really talented players. One of the things we lack a little bit is the depth, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. But I think a group that has been unselfish this year is our defensive line. You know, we have a lot of really good players, you know, that are fighting for reps, quite frankly, and trying to get as much playing time. A guy like Parrish Shan, for example, who had an outstanding play on quarterback outside the pocket, who's had a really good year for us. You know, he's not getting 50 reps a game. You know, he's somewhere in that, you know, 30-something to 25, 30-something, and he's been an unselfish player for us, you know. You know, I would say, you know, Jacobian Guillory, you know, he's been an unselfish player for us. You know, he's been in the 15 to 20. So I would say the defensive line probably ranks similar to the running backs. It's really the only group that we can get too deep in a swing. Everybody else, it's you know, tape them up and see if we can get two guys out there.
With some coaching changes going on, the portal window kind of has already opened for some teams with guys. Now that y'all are closer to the 85-man limit than you've been these past two off seasons, what's that process like as you balance the roster and incoming players from high school and potentially the portal?
Sure, good question. I think now, you know, really selective in terms of the needs for our program. As I've said, and I've made this very clear, we want to build it with freshmen. So this freshman class is going to be a large freshman class, and we want to build it there first and foremost. But there are areas that we want to be able to top off with some premier players. And, you know, obviously, if you're looking at the wide receiver position, if we went into the portal there, you have to match it up with a guy like Malik Nabers, you know, if he ever went early. I don't think he would. Well, obviously we'll find out, but, you know, if it's a guy like that, right? You know, you have to look at the talent that you have in your program and measure it accordingly. So that's one side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, then you're measuring the talent that you might lose on defense and be able to measure it accordingly. So it's measuring the talent accordingly to what's available and who might be out there. But it's building it with the freshmen, and then, you know, finding the particular players that might measure up to the players that you have in your program.
Brian, I know you probably were hoping this would be over last Thursday night, but when you talked to us Thursday, but the targeting call on Andre Sam, did the ref make the decision on his own, or does he? I'm trying to get a timeline on how it works. Does he get help from the upstairs? Like they rang down, and does he talk to Birmingham? And did they make the final decision on that?
So there was no flag on the play, so that means that there was no call on the field. So they were buzzed, and they were buzzed that there may be a targeting on the field. So that's what stopped play and brought them to review. And upon review, it was determined by the replay official that there was targeting on the play. Where my confusion was the week before was that never was there an official underneath the hood, so to speak, on the side, you know, where they bring down and you actually look at the play. So I was confused that, you know, why wasn't it reviewed? They have subsequently said it was reviewed. Well, my question was, well, why is it reviewed one way and not the other? So you don't need the referee then to review, I guess. So I was just confused as to the process of reviewing. In one instance, there was a review without the referee involved, and on the other one, there was a review with the referee involved. So I was asking for a clarification as to what the process is, because I wouldn't know in that instance that there was a review or not.
So on Saturday night,
there was a review.
The replay official, he ultimately made the decision.
Yes, yes.
Right up here. Second straight week now, we've seen some of these freshman defensive backs get some really large work. Toviano, Stamps, Ryan Yates had a pretty big role this last weekend. Just how important is this last month for them in terms of just getting the on-field experience for their development this offseason? And just how have you seen them maybe grow in these two games that they've really
seen? Yeah, it's absolutely crucial for all of them. And you know, whether they're freshmen or, you know, in their second season of competition. And for some, their second season of competition is not much either. You know, LaTerrence Welch hasn't played very much. You know, Jordan Allen hasn't played very much. He played a lot on Saturday. So even those guys that are out there, it's absolutely crucial, first of all, that they're on film, because we've got to be able to teach off of the film that they have. And then be able to correct and build some confidence with them moving forward. So these are crucial times for them.
Kind of back to Ron's question about Jaden last year. I was just curious what that exit interview with him looked like to you, or your memories of it as you sent him off on the off season. Kind of the checklist of things that he's needed to work on, and how much did he really knock it out of the park, or has this been a process throughout the season?
Well, it was a re-recruitment. It was talking about, you know, coming back and recruiting him back and the things that we could do to help him. So once he made the decision that he was coming back for another season, it was then, okay, well, here's the plan. We laid out a comprehensive plan that went from January all the way until preseason camp. And, you know, he invested in it as well. You know, he used his own resources to, you know, throw out on the West Coast and spend time with, you know, people that allowed him to develop. So this was an all-in on both sides, and including Jaden wanting to, you know, put himself in the best position once he made that decision. So there really wasn't an exit interview as much as there was a once a decision was made, was, okay, here's the plan, here's what we have for you, and then he letting us know what he wanted to do as well, and then just coming together and executing the plan.
Looks like you had a little fun at Chris Doering's expense this morning.
Oh, we did. We did, and that's hopefully something that we continue to do. Now, I guess we won't do that next year, so he'll...
No, next year, you go there. You go to Florida.
Oh, do we go to Florida?
Yeah. Okay, then after that, we don't know.
I haven't looked closely enough at the schedule, so that's good for me.
Try to get him in another costume next
year. There you go.
From the outside, it seems like one of Jaden's best improvements is going through his progressions, not taking off too early. Is that one of the best things to you, or what is his biggest improvement to you?
The deep ball, you know, pushing the ball down the field with accuracy. You know, I think we all watch games and watch the quarterback, as I call it, ice the puck. You know, throw it out of bounds, not have a chance to make a catch. He's been so good at the deep ball, and you know, being able to hook up on those big plays. I think, you know, one of the things that we do, in fact, lead the country in is plays over 20 yards, plays of 20-plus, 87 of them. And that has to do with certainly runs after the catch, which we're prolific in, but the ability to throw the football down the field would be one. I would say two was in the pocket progressions. I think that that is equally as impressive in terms of his development.
Given your appreciate the hockey reference, by the way.
Thank you. I was trying to keep us thinking about hockey here in Baton Rouge. You know, it's on the peripheral a little bit, but I kind of like it.
I have to explain blue lines after this. Given your nature of past in politics, how do you approach award season and campaigning for your players? Do you try to subtly do it? Do you bring out the hammer? What's your approach?
You know, I used to be low key about it, to be quite frank with you. But when you have the opportunity today, I think you have to be able to talk about your players when they're doing something that's so special, and in particular what Jaden's doing. I think it's my responsibility when I have this opportunity in front of the media to talk about something that I haven't seen happen in my 3+ decades as a head football coach, somebody that has developed and has excelled at an elite level. And he's an exciting football player. I think he's the most exciting football player individually in the country, and I think it's my responsibility to talk about it.
Coaches, is there anyone else in the injury report outside of John?
We'll see where Logan Diggs is. Obviously, he didn't play last week. We think he's better. Today, obviously, is our day off. Not day off, but we'll just be in the weight room today with meetings. We'll go out tomorrow, and we'll get a better sense, you know, as to where he is. He would be the only other.
And Caleb Jackson got a little bit more run in the game against Florida. How has he sort of progressed in terms of all the little things that you've wanted to see him improve in?
I think inch by inch, you know, it's been a process for him. He's learning the game, you know, the nuances of the game, you know. We saw it, you know, prop up with, you know, the mistake on the kickoff return. You know, those little nuances we have to continue to, you know, work at, but he's such a great kid. He's so fun to work with. But you're going to have some of those, you know, blips. You want to minimize them, you know. But he's been exciting and fun to work with.
Jaden's passing numbers are a lot better than last year. His rushing numbers are better than last year too, which might be surprising. Is that because people are having to respect the pass more, and it's clearing those lanes for him even more to run when he wants to?
Well, Jack, you would think that there's got to be a way to defend him. Last night or Saturday night, they overload pressured. And what their hope was overload pressure and then faking overload pressure, that there could be some confusion for him. It really took him probably two or three times to see it. And then once he saw it, he was able to handle it. So the big difference is with him is last year that might have taken him two games. He sees it a couple of times. We're able to make the adjustments for him, and then he moves forward. And then if you don't have another look for him, you're going to have some problems. And that's where he has made incredible jumps.
Why do you think he's so elusive? Even when people get to him, they can't keep his legs. They can't get his ankles.
I mean, we've talked about this in with our strength and conditioning team. You know, his training and the way he trains. I mean, I know he does not look like he's strong, but he is sinewy strong. I mean, his fiber in terms of how strong he is amazing, and his fast twitch. All of the things that require elite athletes to be, he has all those things, and our strength team just marvels at the way he works out. And you're seeing that come to, light in the way he plays. Guys have a hard time wrapping him up.
Hey, Coach, any comment on Jimbo Fisher or Zach Arnett being let go?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in our profession, it's unfortunately that time of year where decisions are made, and they're tough decisions. Those are good men, and I know them both. You know, they love coaching. Tough decisions are made at this time of the year for whatever the reasons are. Each university has to make what they consider to be the best decisions for the direction of their programs. But, you know, the human side of it is I'm a coach as well, and they're good people. They're good fathers, good husbands, and, you know, you hope that they, you know, obviously land on their feet. Thank you.
Coach Brian Kelly with this week's press conference presented by People's Health, of course, making his a lobby on behalf of his quarterback, Jaden Daniels, and also his receiver, Malik Nabers, two of the very best in college football here in 2023, along with Brian Thomas Jr. And don't forget Charles Turner, who was recognized today as the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. LSU gets ready to take on Georgia State coming up on Saturday night, kickoff at 7 o'clock. And we tried to get you the answer, but we had to wait a little longer. But as I'm sure most of you know now, the times are out for the final regular season game of the year, and LSU will host Texas A&M at 11 a.m. We'll come back and wrap it up after this.
This is the Brian Kelly Press Conference, presented by People's Health.
That wraps up another press conference as LSU gets ready to take on Georgia State coming up on Saturday night, kickoff 7 o'clock inside Death Valley. And, of course, Coach Brian Kelly will be on hand at TJ Ribs this coming Thursday for the Brian Kelly Show. Hope you'll come out and join us. It starts at 7 o'clock as well. Can't make it, you can tune in on the LSU Sports Radio Network or stream it live over the LSU Sports mobile app presented by BASF. Coming up on Saturday, LSU Game Day will get our broadcast day started beginning at 5 p.m. Central with Hunt Palmer, Marlon Favorite, Garrett Brumfield will be in on the show. And then Gordy Rush, Doug Morrow, the former Tigers, will join me from inside Tiger Stadium for Georgia State and LSU kickoff coming once again just after 7 o'clock. Thanks to Gordy Rush. Thanks for you for joining in. Hope to see you back here next Monday, same time, for the Brian Kelly Press Conference presented by People's Health.
This has been the Brian Kelly Press Conference presented by People's Health.